Amen. Open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 4, please. So today I'm going to do something a little different than I normally do. I'm going to talk about end times. And I usually reserve end times for Wednesday night because it's a little, people think it's a little scary. And it's too much of interpretation involved. It's not literal enough. It's your opinion. There's a couple of things that happened this past year, that were time bombs for me when it comes to end time events. One of those specifically was COVID-19. What a time bomb is basically at a certain time the bomb goes off, you know. And so at around March of last year, when everything got locked down, it was a bomb that went off inside of me, because I've been studying end time events for the last 30 years. It's something that I'm very passionate about. It's something I've studied intensely, and it's something that has literally changed my life. I believe it's one of the main reasons why God put me on this earth, is to prepare His people for the end times, for what's about to occur. There's some kind of a ringing in the room, unless it's somebody's. I think it's somebody's hearing aid. Is it somebody's hearing aid? Oh, probably. So Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, interesting that word, you know, it says that there is coming a day that is great and dreadful or terrible. Some versions say it's a great and terrible day, a great and dreadful day of the Lord. So it's interesting how this one day can be both great and dreadful at the same time. And I'll say this, it's great for those who know God, it's dreadful for those that don't know God. Because there is coming a day, amen, that Jesus is coming back. That's a guarantee. He's coming back. That is one of our tenets of faith. We believe that. He came the first time and He's coming again. It's one of our basic doctrines. Now, last year when COVID-19... Well, let me go to 2 Peter for a second. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. I personally don't hear any church talking about end times. Very, 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 very few. And I believe it's because there's not enough understanding of it. You haven't spent enough time studying it. And because, honestly, it scares people. But if you're a believer, it shouldn't scare you. It should actually encourage you. And it should motivate you. It should make you get off your chair and go out and tell somebody that Jesus is coming back. So for us, the message of end times is not like, oh no, I want to grow old, I want to retire in Florida, I want to go on a yacht, I want to have grandkids and great-grandkids, you know, and I get that. But really the message of Him coming back is probably the most important event that's about to occur. There's nothing greater than His return at this point. Nothing. That is the very next expected thing that will happen. And as a Christian, we're supposed to look up, for our redemption draws nigh. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. God has a timetable. He has a calendar. And He said, this is what will happen. You can't stop it. You can't do, I don't care what man plans. Actually, the Bible says God sits in the heavens and He laughs at the plans of man. Because when we talk about end times, the world laughs and say, where is He? He ain't coming back. You Christians are weird. All you want to do is get out of here and escape. Now look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Peter says this, "Behold now, beloved, now I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Notice he says these words were spoken by the holy prophets. People say that end times or end time teaching is a New Testament thing. Do you know how many books in the Bible, how many prophets talked about the end time in the Old Testament? Isaiah did. Daniel did, Ezekiel did, Joel did, Amos did, Zechariah did, Malachi did, Zephaniah did, Micah did. I mean, there's a whole bunch of Old Testament prophets that specifically said Jesus is coming back. So it's not a New Testament thing. It's a thing that God has ordained, and he said, I'm going to start this. Listen, the first time we heard about it is 2,500 years ago when Isaiah began speaking about it. And probably before that, too, because Jesus references Noah's time. And he said, just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be for the coming of the Son of Man. So really, Noah is kind of a picture for us. So anyway, so watch what he says here. Verse 3, he says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Did you notice what he says? They continue. Listen, the world today, non-believers don't want the world to end. They want it to continue their way. They want to live their lives out. They want to be happy. They want to grow old. They want to retire. And they just want to make things better for themselves. And he says that, you know, where it's since the beginning of time, this is how we're just going to continue. Man will live forever. If we overpopulate the planet, we'll live on Mars. We're going to do whatever we can to live the way we've been living, to continue. And Jesus says, no, it's going to end. Amen. And notice Peter says, you're going to be scoffed at. You preach end times, you're going to be laughed at. They're going to make fun of you. Then he says here, for this, they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. In other words, he's saying they're going to ignore the word of God. There's coming a time where they're going to ignore the word of God. We're living in that day. People don't want to hear the word of God. They want to hear nothing about it. Wow. Jesus is a healer of COVID. No, vaccine is. How have we gotten to that point that we can't even depend on the stripes that were laid on Jesus' back for healing, that we have to depend on a vaccine? I'm not anti-vax. I'm not anti-vaxxer. But if your faith is in man and doctors and science to get something to help to protect you, you've lost your focus. You're ignoring the word of God. You are willfully, willfully ignoring the word of God. If they don't come up with a vaccine, I thank God I got Isaiah 53:5, 2 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17. By his stripes I was healed. He sent his word, it healed all my diseases. The blood of Jesus has covered me, washed me, cleansed me. Praise God, I don't have to depend on that. You do what you want, when it's time, fine, but I got a God who heals all my diseases, who blesses my socks off, who'll never leave me nor forsake me, who'll always be with me, who's made me an overcomer, who put his spirit inside of me, and because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, he heals this mortal body. Hallelujah! Woo. Praise the Lord. So teaching end times events is necessary. It's necessary in this day and age. It's absolutely necessary. Now watch what he says. He says, verse 6, by which the world, and verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day, and the Lord is not slack, as some count slackness, but he's been long-suffering toward us. In other words, he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Why hasn't he come back yet? Because he loves the drunk on the street. He loves the prostitute so much. He loves the sinner so much that he said, I'm just going to wait a little bit longer. I'll wait till your very last breath. But if I come back now, judgment hits the planet. Praise the Lord. Woo! You wonder, see, there's COVID-19 was probably not even a drop of what's going to take place in the tribulation. Where God shut the whole planet down just to tell you, you better get saved. You better come to me. You better seek me first, because what just happened is it pales to compare to what's coming in those 7 years. There must be judgment for ungodliness. There is so much evil in the world that God cannot turn a blind eye. God must judge it. Listen, churches love to preach a great, sweet, loving, graceful Jesus. So do I. But it's about to change. When he rips open the sky, he's not going to be the sweet, loving baby Jesus. He's going to be the all-powerful King of Kings, the Lord God Almighty, the one who holds everything in the palm of his hand, the one who spoke the world, the creation into existence, the one who splits the open skies, the one who says to the waters, you stay right there. The one who told Jupiter, you stay right there. The one who controls everything by his word. The one who cast Satan like lightning out of heaven, right into hell, put him under his feet. The one who hung on the cross, took all of our sins, and then on the third day, he burst open the grave. He said, oh, death, where is your sting? Grave, where are you now, grave? You can't touch this anymore. And then he took all of us and he said, if you believe in me, that same resurrection power, same power, same Holy Ghost, the same experience that he had, he says, you can have also. And you can be with me in paradise forever. Judgment is coming. I'll say it right here, right now. Mark my words, 1108. Judgment is coming. In the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, there will be 2 billion people that will drop dead. In the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, there will be 2.5 billion people that drop dead. There will be no water to drink. All the fish of the sea will die. The waters will turn to blood. The earth and the sky will be scorched. There'll be sicknesses and diseases rampant. There'll be evil everywhere. And there's coming a man who is the Antichrist, who is the counterfeit Savior. He is the evil, the son of perdition. He's the evil one, the abomination of desolation. And he's coming to rule the world. And you don't want to be under his rule. We had yesterday, they said they calculated 2 million people have died from COVID. Well, what happens when 2 billion people die just like that? That's nothing. COVID was nothing to what's coming. So let's answer a couple of questions. This is supposed to be a teaching, not a preaching. Woo! Teach and preach. Preach and teach. let me say this. God is not going to put up with disobedience. You make a decision against God, he'll make you wander the desert for 40 years. Now, think about this. Remember when God said that the promised land is yours, go and possess the land, right? And Moses sent out 12 spies. Right? Joshua and Caleb were two of them. Moses said, go spy out the land because God said it's ours. So they came back. 10 said, no way, Jose, or Jose B, whatever. Said, no way, Jose, can we take the land because there's giants in the land. 2 said, oh, yes, we are well able to take the land. God said we can do it. I believe God's word, and we're going to take the land. So think about this. They, Joshua and Caleb, lost the vote. It was 10-2. They lost the vote. Guess what God did because of that? They wandered in the desert for 40 years. And the only ones who made it through were the ones who voted right. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who made it to the promised land. God said, all right, 40 years, you guys are going to drop dead in the desert. You come against me, you violate my, you willfully and ignorantly take sides against my word, 40 years for you. Israel did it again in captivity. God said, 70 years in Babylon for you. Israel did it again in 70 AD. God said, you're done 1948 years wandering around the whole earth. First it was the promised little desert, then it was Babylon, and then said, okay, you violated me again. Now 1948 years, you're going to go out through the whole, you're going to be dispersed from the whole earth. But I'm coming back. I'm giving you 1948 years, Israel, to make a decision. I will bring you back as a nation again. May 14th, 1948, God's word came true. It says in Isaiah 66 that Israel will be reborn in one day. May 14th, 1948, Israel was reborn in one day. Just like that. One day, exactly as scripture said. And God said, okay, you're back. Now what? You take sides against God, I guarantee you he's going to make you wander in the desert for years and years and years till you make that decision and say, no, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm following your plan. See, God is going to be done with the whole world. He's been 6,000 years long suffering. He sent his son 2,000 years ago. And he said, okay, now begins a different age. We call the age of grace. But God's got to put an end to that. So let me ask you a question, and I know I asked John this. I kind of gave him the answer. We talk about the end times, right? Acts chapter 2, it says that Peter, when the Holy Spirit fell, Peter prophesied and says, this is that which was spoken about from the prophet Joel, that in the last days, right, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So if 2,000 years ago was the last days, we must be living in the last seconds or minutes of the last days. So when did the last days, the end times, literally begin? I'm going to blow your socks off. Everybody ready? When did the end times begin? If it's been 2,000 years, when did it begin? I'm so glad you asked. Daniel chapter 9. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, let's find exactly when the end times began. So Daniel is they're in captivity. Daniel is seeking God. Listen, it's important this year we diligently seek him. We must get the mind of God with what's going forward. We must understand the will of God for us. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20, Daniel has been praying. He has a vision. And Gabriel, the angel Gabriel shows up. And he says, Daniel, he says, I've come to show you what's going to happen. Watch this. Verse 20. Ready? You got your seatbelts on?
Yes.
All right. Now, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me at about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. Wonderful. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now... Oh, I said that. Verse 23. That was deja vu. Hey, I've never heard that before. At the beginning of your supplications... The command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. How many of you know you're greatly beloved? God loves you more than anything you ever thought or dreamed about. He says, consider the matter and understand the vision. Ready? Here we go. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish, that means the end, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. He's talking about the end. He says to seal up vision and prophecy. It means there'll be no more vision and prophecies. They'll be done. This is the end of the end of the end. He says, and to anoint the most holy. That's when Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, sitting in Jerusalem in his rightful place on his throne to rule and reign the earth forever and ever. So listen carefully. Gabriel says this. He says, here is where the end begins and it ends. He says, it's 70 weeks. He says, 70 weeks from this point I'm about to tell you begins the end times and the end of sin, the end of everything, the end of iniquity. And then Jesus, the most holy, will sit in his throne forever and ever. Now, the word 70 means 70, and the word weeks in the Hebrew is Shabuah. The word Shabuah in the Hebrew means a week of years. It literally means a week of years. So he's saying 70 times 7 years. Good? So he says this, 70 weeks are determined. He says, that's it. You have 490 years left. Stay with me. He says, this world has 490 years left. This is 2,500 years ago. Good? Everybody with me, right? This is about 450 BC, 59 BC. And he says, this is it, guys. He says, I'm telling you, Daniel, this is the end of the world. 490 years. Good? Okay. He says, verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall in even troublesome times. So he's saying this. This is when 490 years begins, when the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem. He says the moment the command is given, tick-tock. And I'm not talking about the app. When you hear, he says, Daniel, when you hear this happen, when the command goes forth to rebuild Jerusalem, tick-tock, tick-tock, here we go. The clock begins. Good? That is when the end times began. That moment in time. And it was tick-tock from that point on. Now, when did that happen exactly? It happened, ready? And in Ezra chapter 7, it happened three times. The third time was the official command from Antiochus. Antiochus says, okay, go and rebuild Jerusalem. Bam, the time. It was a bomb. End times began. 490 years. Now he says this. He says, but until when Messiah the Prince is cut off, verse 28, and after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. And not for himself and for the people of the prince who is to come. They shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end will be a flood. So he's saying after a certain amount of time, 63 weeks, because there'll be 70 years, and then will be the 60, whatever. It's 63 weeks total that Messiah is cut off. So he's saying after 483 years, the Messiah will be cut off. Okay, put on the next slide. So let me, one of my slides, the one with, I don't know, what? Just throw something up, I'll figure it out, 483 years. The date, Antiochus, no, before that. The one before that. Okay, right there, thank you. So here, ready? I went back. Scholars kind of agree, but they all agree on March 14th that was the day that Antiochus made the command. Some say it's 445 BC, some say 449 BC. I'm going to stick with 445 BC. So according to Hebrew doctrine and scholars and writings, the command went out on March 14th, right, 445 BC. Ready? This is going to be crazy. So he says 483 years from that point, right, Messiah the Prince will be cut off. Jesus will be cut off. Next slide. So we got to take 483 years, right? But in the Jewish calendar, it's 360 days per year, right? It's not 365 days. The Jewish calendar, that's a little off. We got to multiply that, not add. Okay, stay right there. So stay right there. So 483 years times 360 days equals 173,800 days. Okay, stop right there. Don't go nowhere. Right? So if this is true, if this sucker here is true, if we believe this, then it has to be right. Bible has to be 100% true, correct? Okay, so 483 years is what he said. The Jewish calendar is 300 years, is their lunar days, lunar months. So it's 360 days. That gives us 173,800 days. So if we add 173,800 days to March 14th, 445 BC, we get April the 6th, 32 AD. That was Palm Sunday when Jesus rode into Jerusalem to present himself as the lamb to be slain. Every scholar agrees on that date. To the day, the Bible is true. April 6th, look it up. It's a Palm Sunday. You can look it up. It's a Sunday. It's Palm Sunday, 32 AD. Jesus rode in and say, I'm about to be cut off and fulfill the prophecy of Daniel. This is 100% true. You want to learn how to live? Read this. You want to learn about how to go to heaven? Read this. You want to learn about how to be a parent? Read this. You want to be a Christian? Read this. You want to be a person? Read this. You want anything in life? Read this. This is true. To the day. Woo! Luke 21. All right, give me the chart. Put the chart up, Miss Nelly. Okay, so I've done this chart before. We have a problem because it's been more than 490 years. It's been 2,500 years about since the command went out. Correct? So right after Jesus the Messiah was cut off, God said, all right, pause it right there. Just stop right there. We're not going to finish the next 7 years till I say so. And so what we have is the church age. The present age, the age of grace that we call, or the age of the Gentiles. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. We have a 2,000-year gap, right? It should have happened already. If it's 32 A.D., it should have happened in 39 A.D. But God said, nope, I'm going to throw you a curveball. I'm God, I make the rules. And I love these people so much that there's some Greek kid who's going to be born on March 9th, 1962. And I want to see him preach the gospel. Yeah. So I'm just going to put a pause for about 1,962 years. Romans 11:25 says this, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved as it is written. No, he says, I'm going to save Israel, but first I need to go to the Gentiles. I love those dudes, those uncircumcised, those Greek guys, those Italians, those Paisans, those Nigerians, the Jamaicans, the Peruvians, the Ecuadorians, the Guatemalans, you know, the Turkish, the Chinese, the Asians, the Indonesians, the Indians, Indian Jamaicans, the cocktails, the mutts. I love them all. The Puerto Ricans, hey, hey, the Dominicans, even the people from the UK and Australia. He loves them all. And he says, I can't just save Jewish people. They're going to drive me nuts. All they're going to want is bagels every morning and lox. I want some meatballs. I want some souvlaki. I want some beef patties. So God says, all right, let me get some Gentiles in the house. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'll give you another confirmation that God stopped and put the pause on. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." Verse 4, "by which you, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men." He's saying, listen, Daniel didn't see this. Isaiah didn't see this. Zechariah didn't see this. Malachi didn't see this. Joel didn't see this. Amos didn't see this. Ezekiel didn't see this. Nobody saw this. He says, "but it's been revealed to the by the Spirit to his holy prophets and apostles." As he says, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel." In other words, we now account for the 2,000-year gap that God said, "oh, I need to, this, Daniel couldn't see it." He says, "it's a mystery. If I told Daniel everything, then he'd be God." God doesn't tell everything to everybody. He's got to keep something in his back pocket, you know, because he's God. And then his left pocket, and his right pocket, and his side pocket, and his jacket pocket. I mean, he's God. And so he said, "no, I didn't send it to you because you don't know who I am. I'm going to save everybody. I'm going to rock the entire world. I'm going to pour my spirit upon all flesh. I'm going to get, you know, Phoenicians and Egyptians. I'm going to save Egyptians. Even though they kept my people in captivity for 430 years, I'm going to save them. I'm going to save Jordanians. I'm going to save Libyans. I'm going to save Spanish people, Portuguese people. I'm going to save them all. I'm going after the precious fruit of the earth." God ain't giving up. Now watch this. So you good so far? Luke 21. Can you give me a few more minutes? Okay. Luke 21. Luke 21. Woo, this will be like a 3 or 4 parter. But Brother Tooby, Reverend Tooby is preaching next week. So come in here fired up. I couldn't give you everything 2 weeks in a row because it'll be too much for you. Your heads will explode. So Reverend Tooby is preaching next week. And then Bishop is preaching what day? The February 24th? 24th. Got to come for that. He's providing beef patties for everybody for free. Yay! Sorry, brother, you're on the hook. You yell at me about not giving bacon? Luke 21, verse 20. Watch this. "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know the desolation is near." He says, "let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, let those who are in the midst of depart. Let not those who are in the country enter, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Watch this. "But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be a great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, be led captive, away captive to all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled." So he said, Jesus said, listen, Jerusalem is going bye-bye. At 70 AD, it happened exactly as Jesus said. The Gentiles came in, trampled Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and he says, now it's the age of the Gentiles. Until that time is fulfilled, which is really, really, really close. All right, Ezekiel 38. I'm winding down. I need to wind down. I'm too fired up. Whew. Ezekiel 38. You know why I'm fired up? Because I want to go sit in that chair that is in that office. It looks nice. It's a reclinable? Oh, I'm done. I'm done. Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38. It's a new house. I won't be home anymore. All right. I want to give you another time bomb. Because remember I said COVID really blew up inside of me. Well, these two things also blew up inside of me. Let me give you this one. Ezekiel 38. Ready? Verse 10. "Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. He's talking about Gog and Magog, which is Russia. Russia is a major player. Don't take your eyes off of Russia. He says to make an evil plan. Watch this. Verse 11. This is what Russia will say. You will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars or gates, to take plunder and to take booty. Ooh, don't go crazy. Ooh, booty. To stretch out. Now, it was biblical back then. To stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods who dwell in the midst of the land. Here's what he's saying. Let me explain. I'm just condensing this of all Ezekiel 38, 39. There is a war coming that is going to be initiated by Russia, and a couple other countries around are going to join Russia to descend against Israel. They're coming to attack Israel. Mark my words, it's going to happen. Now watch this. This is why I say it's going to be real soon. Watch what he says in verse 13. He says, Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, the Lord says, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, you will not know, will you not know it? He says, then you will come from far out from the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses in a great company and a mighty army. You will come against Israel. He's going on and on. He says, and thus says the Lord. He says, he will come with hooks. I'm just paraphrasing. He will come in hooks and he will destroy them immediately. They will not get in there. Now, ready? Here's where prophecy. A bomb happened. Sheba is Saudi Arabia. Dedan is United Arab Emirates and those countries around there. The merchants of Tarshish and all their young lions. Tarshish is the UK. Thank you. And the young lions, listen, the motto, the mascot of the UK is a lion. So he says the young lions are those countries that were birthed out of the UK, which are United States of America, Australia, Canada, and maybe a few others were birthed. But those are the young lions. So he says this. He says these countries, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, UK, United States, Australia, and maybe even Canada, because it doesn't say which lions, he says they will all say to Russia, stop what you're doing. We don't agree with what. Why are you here to take plunder from them? Now, ready for the bomb? Just this last year, love him or hate him, Donald Trump fulfilled prophecy. When he signed the Abraham Accord with the United Arab Emirates, they became friends with Israel. Dedan has been fulfilled. They are now standing on Israel's side. It has never happened in history until the peace treaty was signed. That's a bomb. That's a time bomb. Saudi Arabia has a peace treaty with Israel as well. And we will side with them. This, I'm telling you, Ezekiel 38, the war is going to happen soon because of that peace treaty that was signed with United Arab Emirates. Love him or hate him, he fulfilled prophecy. Boom. In May of 2018, the United States signed a new agreement that Jerusalem, recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. First time in history. And God said that, and we moved our embassy there. Everybody hated that. Ready? Let me give you Zechariah 12. This is going to explain. Give me just a few more minutes. I hope you're getting something out of this. This is powerful end time. We're ignorant of end time prophecies, and it's happening right in front of us. And I'm going to give you a reason why I'm doing this in a second. Zechariah 12, we're almost done. Zechariah 12, verse 1. Ready? You there? Say, I'm there. I'm quick. I'm fast. I'm sharp. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel, thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. When they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces. All the nations of the earth are gathered against it. Zechariah said that from the beginning of time, Israel makes other countries drunk. In other words, they're just preoccupied. They're addicted to Israel. They want to destroy Israel. They want to destroy Jerusalem. That country is this big, and the entire world wants to wipe them off the planet. And God said, I am making you a drunkenness for the rest of the world. They will always be against you. They will always hate you. Wow. God said it in Zechariah. And he says, whoever does anything against them will be cut to pieces. Do you remember Hurricane Katrina? Rabbi Olvadia Yosef stood up and said this. It was 7 days earlier from Hurricane Katrina that George Bush, President George Bush, gave away a piece of Israel for the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians. You don't touch Israel. George Bush violated the word of God. And God said, oh yeah? Yosef stood up and said, President George Bush, because you cut up Israel, God's nation, judgment came to your nation. You ever touch us again, it'll be worse for you. He said it. When Russia tries to get it, guess what? God's going to say, oh no, you don't. Because Jerusalem is where Jesus is coming back. It is the center of the world for God. You may not know this or not, but Jerusalem is where the Garden of Eden was. And that's why the world wants it. Even Satan wants it. Because remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden, Satan showed up and said, what are you doing in my home? And so God said that his son will sit in the seat of Jerusalem on the temple. Guess what? Satan did. He said, oh yeah, my son will sit there. That's right. Amen. Why is Jerusalem such a drunkenness, an addiction for so many? Because it's God's throne. And Satan wants it back. All right. Let me finish with this. Luke 21:36. Let me finish. Now listen, I know there's a lot of preppers out there. The world is coming to an end. Let's store up food for 25 years. You can buy something online, right? And in a pail, and you can eat for 25 years out of a pail. It's on Christian TV shows. Don't buy it. I'll tell you why in a second. So you can buy food that lasts 25 years in a pail. Listen. We're not going to be here. We're getting raptured. We're getting raptured. I'm not saying it's not going to get bad. Oh, it will get bad. But God did not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, you better remove Lot before I destroy it. You don't think he loves us more than he does Lot because his spirit lives inside of us? I'm not saying put food away. I'm not saying, but don't be a prepper for 25 years. We're getting out of this before judgment comes. That's a guarantee from the Lord. Here's what you need to prep. Here's what you need to prep. Luke 21:36. Jesus said this, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Prep your heart. Prep your heart. Are you hearing me? It's time to come home, folks. All you people on Facebook and everywhere else, you need to come home. It's time to dedicate, consecrate your heart to God. Time bombs have gone off and there are more coming. Watch therefore and pray. Why have we been praying on Tuesday nights? We're hunkering down. We've created a bunker here. We're watching therefore, praying that we may escape these things. There's things coming to pass. There are crazy things coming, but God's word is true. And I'll talk about the rapture next time. He's coming to get us before this ever happens. Comfort one another with these words. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know I went long. Facebook's about to go out in 3 minutes. But I just want to pray for all of us this morning before Facebook shuts down. I pray that your heart is right. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've been, where you've done. It doesn't matter. You need to come home. This morning, you need to come home. You need to come back to Jesus. You need to dedicate, consecrate, give your life back to Jesus. He's coming, folks. He's coming back. I put my entire life on the line. He is coming back. And he said that the generation that sees Jerusalem, Israel, become a nation, they will not die before the coming of the Son of Man. A generation is 70 or 80 years. Guess what year this is? 2028 is year number 80. It ain't going past. Well, I better not say that because everybody say, oh, Pastor, you put a date on things. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Just don't play games.